So if you have a man and a woman in the house, the person who God supports most of the time is a woman. Now, when I say support now, I don't mean that it's whatever she says goes. But she has a special power to approach God on matters that that guy doesn't have. The reason being that he has the power to dictate matters. She doesn't. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, this is the way it is. God is always the father to the fatherless, the husband to the widow. That is, the widow has more husband in God than the married woman. Do you get what I'm saying? In the same manner, when you are supposed to be under authority, you tend to have more approach before God than the man who's above authority, if you get my point, the one who's the authority. Because God has to come to your defense. He's the one that puts you under that kind of precarious situation. I'm bringing out something. So what is the woman supposed to do? It's simple. You use prayer. Oh God, you will use prayer. You know what they call prayer? You will use prayer. Not to manipulate. We don't have time to talk about the principle of witchcraft. Some of the things we do is pure witchcraft. So some of the things we do is pure witchcraft. So I'm not talking about how to use the principles of witchcraft to control your husband. You go to the home. When he's not around, you put his picture down. You anoint it with oil. And you cover it with the Bible. Lord, as I'm talking now, he will be listening. That's witchcraft too. No, I'm telling you, I've told you, most witches don't go to coven. No. They are Pentecostal Christians. They pay tithes, they give offering, they pray, they speak in tongues. They don't go to coven. They believe. But nobody taught them that it's witchcraft. Say, carry your husband's photo, put it there. Anoint it with oil. Wrap it with the Bible. Confess over him, whatever I tell him to do, he will do. That is witchcraft. It works sometimes. People don't understand these spiritual things. Witchcraft often works, except that it opens the door to an evil spirit into your life. You will go mental, you will die early. That's the curse of God upon witches. Be careful. Nobody teach you principles of witchcraft. When I say go to God, what I mean is this. When I say your power, you will literally go to God and kneel down and make your request known to God. Listen to me, daughter of God, you may be wrong. I don't know, get my point. Something is paining you and you go and pray before God doesn't mean you're not wrong. You know what prayer means? It's submission again. When you leave the place of prayer, you leave the matter alone. If the man changes his mind, then you know God was on your side. You were right. If he doesn't, God had just proved to you that you were not right. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? See, I hope I've answered your question. Let me get back to my message. Those of you who pushed me in that regard, let me just go back to my message. But how I connected with that was this. That this is a principle. Something is not popular, or something is popular, may just be the very thing that's opening the door to the devil in our lives. And we join hands, join hands, join hands, join hands, join hands, join hands. Pray, pray, pray. Fast, fast, fast. The problem is not solved. Do you know why? Fundamentally, we are holding on to the principle of the prince of the power of the air. Fundamentally, we are holding on to that principle. What I'm saying, I hope it is clear. Listen, the Christian warfare, let me get back to it. Let me say it again. I don't think we have to go into that over that in details. When Jesus died, he defeated the devil. Did I hear an amen? Yeah. He has overcome. He said, I was beholding and I saw Satan fall like lightning. The Bible said, let's quickly read that one so that we'll get it very clear. The book of Colossians. Because I feel like we shouldn't spend time on it. When Jesus rose up from the dead, you know what he said? All powers in heaven and on earth have been given unto me. Colossians chapter 2. From verse 8, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily, and in him you have been made complete, and is the head over all rule and authority. Now let's quickly come down. In verse 13, and when you were dead in your transgression and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all your transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it away, taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He said, when he disarmed, notice that, when he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. That is, I like the way he said in King James, he spoiled principalities and powers. The devil doesn't have the power, any power over the child of God. Are you getting my point? He doesn't. He has been dethroned in your life. I said something last time, let me say it again. You have to learn how to draw your ancestry. Do you get what I'm saying? You say, I am of God and I have overcome him. That's what John said. You are of God and you have overcome. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you get the point I'm making? We don't need to go over this again. I believe we all know it if we are children of God. We are of God and we have overcome the devil. Do you get what I'm trying to make? Listen, stop making him an agenda. This night we are going to face Satan. Why should you face him this night? It's none of your business. Do you get the point I'm making? Look, it's very important we understand this issue. He said, don't you ever deal with the devil. You do when he shows up. Not imaginary show up. You think about imaginary show up. You try to open your door, your key is missing. You rebuke the devil. You get my point? You didn't put water in your car. Your engine begins to overheat. You, this Satan overheating, I rebuke you. When you bought that car, they told you, the radiator is too small. It is not tropicalized. Go and get a bigger one. You haven't done that. You are rebuking the devil. Now, I'm bringing out something. Let's stop seeing evil spirits where they are not. It's very important, please. That thing is very important. Listen, you are far above all powers of the devil. I am talking now about schemes. The devil understands this thing. And that's why he's using schemes against us. All right? The message I want to preach, I have not gotten there. I don't know who dragged me into all of that when I was doing. All right? Those of you who did, be careful very, very, very much. All right? Okay. Now, so I'm explaining something here. So the schemes is what I'm explaining. The problem that goes wrong is that Satan comes to us with schemes again. He starts tempting. And this is warfare. The real fight you are supposed to fight is the fight to resist the temptations of the devil. Do you get my point? You know, last time I was talking about that, that's when I began that issue of the prince of the power of the air. Listen, you are going to go out to do your business. There is a culture that Satan has already taught the people in the market. Do you get what I'm saying? You have to be careful not to learn their culture. Spiritual economic empowerment and development strategy seminar. That was what I tried to explain. There is an attitude of the prince of the power of the air. If you dabble into it, you're automatically subject to the power of the devil. That is the way it works. You cannot rebuke it. You can't. If you dabble into his principles, you are subject to his power. That's why Paul said, labor, fight, use all your energy to enter into God's rest. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to us here. What I really wanted to preach, let me just go back to that. You know, we read that Ephesians chapter 6, but let me just go back to this. You know, because of time, I won't read anything now. Let me just continue talking. I said something last time. Let me go back to it. I said that there are two kinds of warfare that Christians are involved in. One is purely defensive. Purely. And that's what we've been discussing. And that's the most important warfare. The reason is because, you know, there is something that overcomes the devil. You understand what I mean? About the victory that overcomes the devil. I've gone through the scriptures. I have seen that there's one thing that really defeats the devil in your life totally. That is, now listen to this. You understand that the devil has been defeated. He has been cast down. But he's scheming against you. He's trying to pull you down. There is one thing that totally abolishes his power. And that thing, you know, it's not easy. Don't leave. There's no special key. All right? All of your eyes don't open. Like, Pastor, say it. I will say it anyway. It's called perseverance. Is that here, amen? Amen. It's called endurance. He that endures to the end shall be saved. You know what it means? It can be hard. Things can be tough. I've read through the scriptures, I've meditated, and realized that that is what overcomes the devil. I said there are two warfares we are involved in. From the Ephesians chapter 6, we see the first one is defensive. And what he says is for you to just stand your ground. Are you getting what I'm saying? What are you supposed to do? stand your ground. God is not expecting to make any advancement in that area. No. What he says is what? Stand your ground. What are you standing your ground concerning? Your faith. What are you standing your ground concerning? Say it loud. Your faith. That's what you are standing your ground concerning. Listen, I discovered this thing. You will discover something the Bible says. If you read that Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus was talking. Take no thought for the morrow. You'll see, he always emphasized the issue of rest in the life of the Christian. If you read Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, he explained that thing. That what you need to do is to enter into God's rest. Anyone who has entered into his rest has ceased from his works. That's what he is always trying to explain. If you enter into the rest of God, now you know what that means? It means then God can walk in your life. God can work concerning your circumstances. Please get my point. Sometimes, it's as if you have prayed enough. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Sometimes, it's as if we have prayed too much. We have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Look. There's something I said before about wisdom for salvation. If you hear the word of God, God will give you a particular wisdom for your situation. Do you get my point? What your fight is to hold on to that wisdom for your salvation. When you talk about the helmet of salvation, all right, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, talk about the sword of the spirit and all of that. What are you doing? In fact, the one that's most interesting for me, which I want to explain briefly, is the issue of the shield of faith. You say you do, what we use it for? To quench all the fiery arrows. You know what that means? Fire-tipped arrows. Now, listen to this. This modern day, of course, we don't use such a weapon. We use something like that. They tell you about phosphorus bombs that Israel used in Gaza, and they say it's against international law of warfare, and they said it's not those kind of that. This, they don't only explode, they set places on fire. Those days when you had fenced cities, one of the things you did was you could set the city on fire. How do you do it? You put a burning stuff at the tip of the arrow, light it, and shoot it. That is, when it hits a place, it sets the place on fire. Are you getting the point there? All right? So what does the shield of faith do? I'm bringing out something. He quenches those fires. Now, which fire are we talking about? I'm bringing out something here. Go and read James. James explains something about the tongue. He said the tongue is what? A little member. He said, but it's a little fire that sets a great forest on fire. I listened to James and I realized what Paul was saying here. One of the things that the devil uses against you as his fairy tipped arrows are what? Words. What did I say? Words. Negative words. He is always speaking. Listen, every day he's always talking, trying to scare you. Hey, have you heard? Fuel is now 100 naira per liter. And then you go, what are we going to do? I think we are all going to just die. And then that's it. Hey, your knees start shaking. There's an epidemic of meningitis. Have you not heard? In fact, Ebola virus is now running rampage all over the country. Are you not in trouble? This virus kills people. It kills people. It kills people. It kills people. It kills people. And that's it. The man starts getting afraid. The Bible says, fearing, he began to sink. Are you getting my point? What is he doing? He's trying to set your whole life on fire. Please, I hope what I'm saying is getting clear to you. There's a story I like to tell once. This is an meningitis story. One of my guys came to our office somewhere in Lagos. He said, this meningitis is deadly. Once you catch it, in 2 days, you are dead. Everybody run now. Everybody leave the department. Go and take the vaccine. And as God is my witness, I was angry. I have nothing against vaccines. I think they are good. All my children are vaccinated. Even me, I'm sure I should be vaccinated here and there. I'm sure I should go and take some vaccines. There's nothing wrong with it. They are good. If you come with good vaccines, I'll take. Nothing wrong with them. But that day I was vexed in my spirit. Everybody run. I said, no, I'm not going anywhere. One of my colleagues said, are you not going? I said, I'm not going. He said, why? I said, how will it be heard that I, child of God, blood bought, redeemed, started running because I heard the name meningitis. I said, I'm not taking. Let the meningitis come. I said, listen, when meningitis hears my name, he should run. Not me running. I refuse. That was my only reason why I refused to take. I'm not joking to you about it. I was just angry. Run, the thing kills. I said, it can't kill me. For information, death is not an accident. I'm not destined to die now. I will not die. He said, run, run. I said, I'm not going anywhere. And the reason why I refused, it's just because I was angry. If they had come to the department and said, please, we are giving meningitis vaccine. Please, please, everybody take hope. I probably would have taken. But the man said, if you don't want to die in 2 days, run and go and get your vaccine. I said, listen, if meningitis does not want to die in 2 days, he had better move. Banky is coming. That's how I concluded it. I'm talking about what? Warfare. Listen, it's not as if we go around looking for the devil. Later on, we'll talk about the ministry of intercession. When you pray and pray devils out of other people's lives, let me tell you how devil gets out of your own personal life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and all of that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. The first line of that portion is what? The Lord is my shepherd. That is, as long as I faithfully obey the word of God and follow the instructions of the shepherd, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's how you do your own personal warfare. I'm talking about defense. Defense. The Bible says that God has given you all things that pertain to life and what? Godliness. Every single thing. There is nothing you have ever wanted, imagined in life that God has not yet granted if it's good for you. Are you following my point? What's the devil trying to do? He's trying to remove you from the Garden of Eden that God has planted you in. And we are saying that what you do is that you use those weapons to resist. And I'm using one as an important example. The shield of faith. Let me just talk about two of them. And the word of God. The shield of faith, actually, is a confident assurance you have in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? That does not allow all the negative things of life move you. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? You know... I do this all the time. Today, after, because Israel and I were here since morning, and I ate an extremely light breakfast when I was coming, and when I was going back in the afternoon, actually it was Bishop and I that came here earlier. So when I got back home, all right, I was very hungry. I was hungry. You know, these have been saying this when we were young. They said, I will beat you, you want to eat everything. Have you heard that thing before? Maybe you guys remember when we were young. They said, ah, I'm through with you. You'll be hungry for everything. You know, I didn't used to understand what they meant, all right? But these days, I have experienced hunger, not even beaten. As soon as I got downstairs, I saw one small boy selling this cassava that they put inside water. You know, I wanted to reach for it. I said, Bank, you are going home. You are going home. Stop all that nonsense. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere in all of this. When I go home, the first thing I did was to look for food. Now, as I entered the kitchen, I began to pick what they cooked. I didn't like it. It was mostly for the kids. So I tried to eat something. So along the line, I took small cornflakes, took small this, took more that. There's a bottle of granules my wife kept there. So I poured some of it. And I remember as I was pouring the granules into my hand and tossing it to my mouth, I began to give thanks. I'm coming to something. I began to give God thanks. I said, Lord, that I came home and there's food. Thank you. Thank you for this groundnut, Lord. And you know the interesting part? It was real worship. And it wasn't just because of hunger. I don't take food for granted. I don't think I have food because I have money. I give no explanation for the reason why I have food to eat. As God is my witness, the only explanation I give for it is that the Bible says that God supplies us richly with all things to enjoy and to do good. And I remember I told myself, Banky, I hope you have been sharing food with other people. Because that's a matter, that's a sign of faith. And I reasoned, I said, God, I hope I've shared my food. And I was trying to get something to eat. And I was giving God thanks for the fact that there was water to drink. Not a big ceremony, but believe me, it was coming from the bottom of my heart. I'm coming to something now. Now, so no matter the story you tell me about what tomorrow will be like, I remember that the food I'm eating today, I didn't scheme to get it. It was given to me by God. Are you getting the point I'm making? Therefore, the food that we eat tomorrow, Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Alright? He says, sufficient unto the day is the groundnuts thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the cornflakes and the garri available. Sufficient unto the day is the cup of water that is there. I thanked God for it, and because of that, I know my tomorrow's food is guaranteed. You can't scare me. That's what I'm saying. You cannot scare me. I'm talking about the shield of faith. You cannot make me afraid. House, when I first came to Enugu, houses were going for only 900,000 naira, a whole duplex, buy in Transekulu. Now they are going for 25 million. Wow! I don't believe this. What is a young man going to do? I will tell you. When they are going for 1 billion, we shall have 50 billion. Are you getting my point? Because it's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You can't scare me. You know, if you want to do is watch news. There was a time Ozelaya was getting thin. Can you remember? They've forgotten Ozelaya now. What is now? Global warming. You know, I told you about, you can't say things that are not popular. People will fight you. I have studied enough and I found out that the scientists have no proof that global warming is not cyclical. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Remember the Ice Age? You heard of Ice Age, Ice Age, Ice Age. Which human being, according to them, was around to heat up the Ice Age? Nobody. The thing became warm, and all the dinosaurs died, and I said, wait, wait. So why do you think it is us that's warming up the globe? I said, watch it. Very soon, global freezing shall start. You will say, Pastor Banky said so. I was going to say in your lifetime, but I withdraw it, not in your lifetime, in the next few years. By the time you are old, you get tired of all these alarmists, young scientists trying to alarm us. Al Gore lost election. He decided to start campaigning for global warming. He said, it's not your fault. If you're American president, you think you have time for this global warming thing. And people were afraid like you gave the Nobel Prize. I told myself, look, I'm not afraid. Listen, God is in charge of times and seasons. I know what I'm saying. What shall happen? What when crude oil will finish? Let me tell you the truth. There was a time nobody knew what crude oil was. Just about 100 years ago, for your information, they were not using petrol for anything. The only thing they wanted from it was kerosene. The petrol was an unnecessary contaminant. You know the way they were flaring gas before in Nigeria? They were flaring petrol when they distilled it. You want to scare me about tomorrow? Listen. There's wisdom from above that will give us the energy to use. Look, you can't scare me. That's what I'm going to explain. The shield of faith. Look, Jesus told the disciples, he said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. He said, because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Listen, it is the Father's good pleasure to secure my tomorrow. Save up, save up. You never can tell. I said, you'll be a fool to save up Naira because you can't tell. One thing I can tell is that the Naira will fail. One thing I can tell is that your dollar will fail. I was watching on TV the other day after Bernard Madoff skimmed everybody of $65 billion. And the young woman said that she lost about 8. Is it 8 or 16 million? I forgot the dollars. That this is wicked. She's been skimming, she's saving since she was young. Saving for this, saving for that. I said, see, that's why you should obey God. If you had allowed one Pastor Banky to preach to you, he would have told you that saving cannot guarantee your tomorrow. Therefore, you would have been generous. That's the principle of generosity. Go and read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Because I understand that God gives us all things to enjoy. Please, I'm coming to a particular point. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. That's what I'm talking about. The shield of what? Faith. Satan gives all kinds of stories, trying to scare people. Because when they are afraid, they start walking against the will of God. Let me explain to you. The decisions you make in the midst of fear is guaranteed to be directly against God's will. Let me say it again. The decisions you make in the midst of fear, they are guaranteed to be directly against the will of God. So what Satan wants to do is to scare you. Once you start using fear as the premise upon which you make your decisions, you will get it wrong. 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 What shall we eat? What shall we drink? That's why the shield of faith is absolutely important. It's this kind of rest he places in your heart. Every time people call, you've heard my story before. One day, talking about house. I told my wife, I said, think about it. Assume you know a man that has millions and millions of naira and earns more every month. And he has 10 houses right now. Project for the next 20 years. Who do you think will have is surer of a house to live in 20 years' time? Him or me that don't have right now the things that he has? The summary is, it is me. Because you know the God that I have. You don't know the one he has. You can't scare me. The day I went to the American embassy, the lady there happened to be the head in that section. I found out later when she and I were talking. She said, how come there's no... Because she looked at my bank balance. She said, bring your bank statements before we give you visa. She looked at my bank statements and did like this. Believe me, she did like this. That's how she like... She was just exasperated. Like, what? Everybody's been showing up with 1 million naira. One guy showed up with 4 million naira in his bank account. Don't mind the woman folding hand for me. She didn't give him visa. Because she said, we heard it, that how come you have 4 million naira in your account? You said you were a civil servant. Is that how much they pay you civil servants here now? Believe me. Oh, I forgot to tell you. The balance in both accounts will have been near zero. Except that one brother wanted to send Kingdom World money. So send the money into my account. Alright? And I didn't even know because he didn't call me to tell me. And this was before the days of, in fact, the bank there, I used to use the bank. They were not giving, text me SMS. Alright? So, it was when I came back that I looked at which money is this one, and I didn't even recognize the name. The names were going one kind, one story. So I just simply, I said, okay. I now suspected maybe this particular brother. I called him later on that particular day. I didn't know. So the woman looked at it and said, why come you don't have money in your account? I said, you asked me whether it was a salary account. I said, I earn the money and I spend it. That's the way it goes. As God is my witness, that was what I told her. She now said that. Don't you have kids? I said I do. Most certainly I do. Are you not saving up for their education? Hey, Mama, you're an American. That's what your problem is. I said, I will save up for their education tomorrow in a bank account. Am I stupid? You don't know the history of the Naira? No, I didn't tell her all of this. I'm just adding to it now. You don't know the history of the Naira? When I was a child... In 1978-79, I remember well, 75 kobo exchanged for $1. That is, if you had 750 naira, you bought $1,000. 30 years after, are you following me? 30 years after, $1 gets you 180 naira. Or if you get it from the bank, 150. And you think I'll be stupid enough to put physical cash in an account because I want my children to go to school? If the God that I am serving with all my heart today will not pay for their education, then let them be illiterate. What nonsense. After all, right now, what they are learning, their mother is teaching them. And I'm sorry to say this, the university education, they don't need it for prosperity, if that's what you're afraid of. But most importantly is that, forget it. The time will come that not only will they be able to go to university, I will be able to send the whole community to university if I so desire. And I don't have to pump money into an account right now to fulfill that goal. Talking about the shield of faith. Listen to me, Christians, this is the warfare you're supposed to fight. I said there are two warfares. You know, I said it last time. I didn't finish it. Today now, I started it again, and I can't finish it because I want to close now. But let me just emphasize on this first one again. The warfare is to protect. You know, this is almost the third day I'm preaching that thing because it's so important. When you are afraid, you miss God. Do you get what I'm saying? When fear is the primary thing in your heart, your decisions are against the will of God. And so, Satan, knowing this, you know what he does? He starts scaring you. And that's when he starts shooting the fairy darts. Are you getting my point? That's when you need the shield of faith. Shield of faith doesn't always talk. It just has a confident, resolute quietness inside his soul. That, forget it, all these stories they are telling is not going to get anywhere. I am not going to die. I will not get cancer. I won't die in an accident. I will live long. I will be a father to my children, a husband to my wife. That this is a quietness inside the soul. It just stays there. So you tell any story you want to tell, the guy is not moved. I said something about the sword of the spirit. That's the one you use to knock off every suggestion for action that the devil suggests to you. Do you get my point? Because the fiery that is supposed to scare you has no suggestion. Just scaring you. Say, you know you're in trouble. You say, yeah, believe I'm in trouble. You know you're going to die. Yeah, buy me a casket. You know that kind of thing. You're just afraid. But when do you use the word of God? When he gives a direct suggestion concerning what to do about your situation. Turn these stones to bread. It is written. That's the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. That's a strike. It strikes at you. You deflect that one. With the sword of the spirit, it is written. He said, bow to me and I will give you everything. He said, my brethren, are you hearing what they are telling me? And then you give a word. He said, we cannot bow. We will worship the Lord our God alone, and only him we will serve. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Jump down and look, because see, you know, I try to take this ministry work as an example. Well-meaning people have given me all kinds of suggestions. When they are senior, I don't say anything. Not to them. When I say that, I don't say anything, I mean in their presence. So once I leave the place, I start talking. believe me, I start talking. He said, if you don't do like that, the Sunday service now. You don't know these people. They will carry all their money and go to their churches. They will come and eat from you free of charge. I said, once I leave the place, I'm telling the truth. I'm not imagining this. These are things people told me. Once I leave the place, I'll say, Father, they didn't send me to ministry. You did. The Lord has sent me and his spirit. Jesus said, when I sent you, did you lack anything? I say, I will not lack in the name of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I say it and I leave. I don't need any human scheming. All kinds of schemes. People will tell you, this is how to do this thing. I need to. I say, if he's a senior person, I know they talk. Yes, sir. Yes, yes. Once I come over there, I begin gisto. No, I'm serious. I begin talk. Sword of the spirit, the word of God, you used to deflect off every suggestion that's against the will of God that Satan is giving you. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Listen, that's real warfare. You know, that's the real warfare. The real warfare is not our fight against the devil. That, you know what I mean? Oh, you Satan, coming against me. Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost, fire. A whole night you don't sleep. Oh boy, something's wrong with you. Ignorance is your problem. Ignorance. Ignorance. All this prayer is a prayer of what? Fear, not the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith or fear doesn't have any result. The devil is very happy. He said, I think we are getting to him now. Said, tomorrow, what do we do? Tell him more bad news. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. But the second thing which I wanted to explain, let me just say one thing about it, is how we make advance for God. All right? And that one, again, is real warfare. But you find that, like I said the other time, the warfare there is still the same, basically the same thing. It's as you begin to walk, what you do is that you stay steadfast in the midst of your calling. And when God finds you steadfast, then he pushes kingdoms over into your hands. And when the devil wants to wrest those kingdoms out from your hands, you see the same thing again. He comes with temptations. Then your warfare begins again, in which you want to maintain your stand. Your stand not upon the territory God has given you. That is what you are going to get. But your stand is a stand of what? Faith. That, no, I won't change my mind because of this thing. I will not change my mind because you think, you know, because I told you there's a principle. If I perish, let me perish. Listen, to hold your faith, be ready to lose physical things. Did I hear an amen? To hold on to your faith, be ready to lose physical things. To hold on, that's what Jesus meant. He said, it's better for you to enter eternal life without your eyes. Because if your eye makes you stumble, that's what was trying to explain. Be ready to lose physical things. If that's the cost of holding on to your faith, I'll continue.